way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, and other life forms. Welcome to today's episode of Youth Station. Yes. Here on IRIB English Radio. Thank you so very much, you guys, for being with us. I am your humble host, Zainab.
And I'm Hassanain. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you so very much for being with us, bro.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to our listener. Oh, the pleasure is all mine. And thank you to our listeners for being with us on today's episode. You know, it's ironic.
What?
Today we're going to be talking about listening and how people pretend to be listening, but in truth, they've like zoned out of the conversation a long time ago. They're just sitting there and nodding their head. And sometimes, I often wonder.
No, but Sister Zainab, I pretty much ensure you that your listeners are actually listening to you. They're
you
not pretending.
So?
Because if they were pretending, they would
just
turn off the radio. Yeah.
True. They're not forced to listen to us at all. You guys are doing this out of your own free will. If you're vibing with us and you're feeling what we're saying, stay tuned. If you don't, feel free to switch off the dial. As I said, today we're going to talk about listening. And are you a good listener? Do you consider yourself as a good listener?
I guess.
Really?
Yeah, I guess.
For me, it depends on who I'm listening to.
Okay, like being a good listener to everyone you're talking about?
Yeah. Some people are just very, very good at listening. They're just there. And they're waiting for someone to open their mouth and talk or vent or explain. And they just listen. They listen. They have very good intake that way. You know, and some people aren't that way. But for me, it depends when I pretend. Sometimes I genuinely want to listen to someone when it's someone I love, when it's someone that's going through hardship.
Yeah.
When they're talking about something that I feel I can learn from. Then I attentively listen.
Yeah, even for me, like, it depends. Like, you know, if something is worth listening, I listen to them. Someone, you know, someone just speaking some random stuff, like, you know, just wasting time.
Small
like,
talk. I cannot function in small talk. Like, I have caught myself, unfortunately, I'm not proud of it because it was one of the, being a good listener is one of the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was known for being a good listener. He was known for turning the entire direction, to his entire body toward the person who was speaking to them. So much so that the person felt, every person who came across Rasulullah and spoke to him, felt that they were the most special person who ever spoke to Rasulullah. That's how much attention.
He actually feels good. You know, someone's listening to you like with full attention. Like, bro, this guy's
like
to
my,
me. Yeah.
My brothers are really good listeners. I can go through a lot. They're like, they're my rock. I love them so much, mashallah. Shout out to my brothers. You guys are awesome. May Allah protect all brothers.
I love you.
They're really good listeners. And the thing is that I can throw every emotion and every word and every thought at them, and they will attentively listen to me. I feel that often people pretend that they're listening to you, or often you pretend that you're listening to someone because of some reasons. Like, they're saying something that is against your thoughts, your opinion, or your will.
Yeah.
They're giving you advice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unwanted advice. And you don't want to be rude. Mm-hmm. You just stand there and you nod. Like, what you're doing.
Yeah, I just pretend.
Yeah. You're, mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Your mind is already somewhere else. Or in your mind, you're like, what is this person saying?
I'm just waiting for him to finish his talk.
Finish, exactly. Yeah. Oh, my God. And that is...
You know, if it's my friend or somebody else, like, you know, I just say, bro, you know, if it's, as you said, if it's against my thoughts, so I just stop him, like, you know, it's not like this, it's this way.
Mm.
But if it's someone elder, like, you know, I don't want to, you know, interrupt them or, you know, be rude to them, you know, they might, you know, take it in the bad way, so I just don't.
There is no good or bad way. You don't want to listen to them. What other way could they possibly take it? I feel that a lot of youth have this problem, especially the way you described it. Like, an elder is telling them, a teacher, a mentor, a parent, an aunt, a grandparent is talking to them, telling them something, and they're like, mm-hmm, yeah, okay, mom, mm-hmm, sure, ma, all right, okay. They have to listen. They have to listen. They have to go through that lecture.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
They, like, be it any, like, you know, boss in the company or, like, principal.
Mm.
Like, you know, principal and, you know, the bosses and all, like, when they talk to the employee, like, the employee is, you know, he has to listen to his boss. And he cannot just, you know, come back with reply to him, you know, so that he'll be fired later.
Exactly.
You know, he's helpless over there to listen to his boss.
Other situations I feel that we pretend to listen when someone is talking to us is when we know better. And God, that happens so much when I'm talking to children. Because there's zero input, right?
Right.
There's nothing they know that I don't already know. Unless they're describing what happened that day, what did they do, something they saw. Oh my God, I saw a huge spider. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. I'm actually listening. But when they're telling me about something, and I already know I was that age before, I've been there, done that, and I don't care about this. Yeah. I've lived this already.
Please. So do you listen to them?
I do. Because it's very, very important for children to feel heard. And as a lot of the adults we see in today's society, mm-hmm. if had they been heard, had they been given a voice, had they been taught to verbalize their thoughts and feelings and express themselves as children, and had they been acknowledged for those thoughts and those voices, they wouldn't be so broken as adults today. So yes, I don't like listening to children because it's boring as hell. Yeah. But I listen to them anyway because it's important for children to feel heard.
You know, the second category we're talking about, like, you know, pretending to listen, like, when we already know it.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on, you know, person to person. Like, you know, when it's my close friend, you know, he's describing an incident to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'll just, oh, bro, I listened to this before. So, like, okay, we go to the next topic. But if someone, like, you know, I don't know very well, like, you know, we're just casual friends, like, formal friends. We are just formal friends. Mm. You know, he's describing an event, so I just don't stop him. I just pretend to listen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel like, you know, just to keep his heart, like, he shouldn't feel bad. Like, he should, like, he's describing it, like, I'm paying attention to it.
Or, like, join in the conversation saying, like, oh, my God, I know, right? And then you add something and make the conversation a little lively. Because when it's something that you already know, it's not adding to your knowledge at all. The person is just boring you to death. That's one of the, like, situations I get.
So it depends, right? Anxiety. When it's your close friend, you can just tell him, bro, I heard this before. Like, we go to the next conversation, like, next topic. Yeah.
Or when it's your brother and you just, you know, straight up tell him to stop talking.
Yeah.
Dude, you're boring me. Stop talking. Oh, another situation where I cannot bring myself to listen to someone. The person, the way they're talking is incoherent.
What do you mean by that?
Incoherent in the sense of, I don't understand what topic are we discussing. They're constantly jumping from one branch or another. I cannot follow the trail of the story. The storyline is incoherent.
So, like, you don't actually know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you think that, you know, interrupting someone between while they're conversing, do you think is that rude?
Depends. And if you're on a radio show, it's inevitable. We're constantly interrupting each other. And it's cool, right? Because we've got like 15 minutes to get a message through. I often find that I do it often because I'm very forgetful. Mm-hmm. And if a thought pops in my mind, if I don't say it that moment, I'll forget it forever and ever.
Yeah.
And it will just slip into the pages of history, right? And I'll like remember it 6 months after that convo. And I'm like, dang, that's what I wanted to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's with someone that I'm close to, I'd be like, oh, and this and that and that. And I interrupt them. Like, it's my best friend. It's my mom. It's my brothers. But if it's someone that I'm not so close and comfortable with, I just let the thought slip away. If it's meant to be, I'll remember it. If I forgot it, it means that it wasn't meant to be. Emphasizing on listening, we want to talk about this topic today because of a few reasons. Number one, I feel like youth struggle with trying to listen because adults, especially when the speaker is an adult, and that's sad because of this huge generation gap. The other point is that
they simply have to listen to them.
Yeah, like, Islam puts a lot of emphasis on listening. It's one of the greatest means of learning. And Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, actually there's a hadith from him that literally says, talk less, listen more. And one of the signs of a believer is one who is listening more than speaking. And there are so many ahadith telling us about the virtues of being silent. Not in situations that call for speech, but if you don't have anything to say.
There's one hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that speak good. Mm-hmm. Or remain silent.
Exactly. If you don't have something useful to say, don't say anything at all.
قُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ إِسْمًا. And there's one more hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen. So like, you know, we got to know from the, you know, we have to speak good or else remain silent.
Mm.
But Amir al-Mu'mineen says that when do we have to speak? You know, Imam Ali says that, you know, speak only when your words are more beautiful than silence.
Beautiful.
It's actually, you know, I love that hadith.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And, you know, the importance of listening, I feel, it affects us so... It's one of the portals of our body, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the USB portal of our body. Yeah. Our eyes, our skin, our senses, our maybe our mouth, our taste buds, and our ears, right? Is how we have intake. And it's so important. Like, you listen to good music or a good lecture or a good verse of Quran and you're uplifted. You listen to something bad and then you're down in the dumps.
Yeah.
Or like in Islam, they recite the Shahadatain, right?
Yeah.
In the newborn's ears and the adhan and the iqamah. Or when someone dies, they do the talqeen to them. And they, you know, tell a corpse about your beliefs and this and that.
Yeah.
So that shows how effective listening can be in our lives and how it can change so much.
You know, there was someone saying that, just tell me, what do you think about this? You know, there was someone saying that, you know, even a listener needs a listener.
Of course. That is so important.
Like, we shouldn't always be listening. You know, even we need a listener.
Exactly. Even Amir al-Mu'mineen needed to vent. You know, he'd vent to a well. Because all the hardships that he went through were so overwhelming throughout his life. Especially after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his beloved wife Fatima az-Zahra sallallahu alaiha, he went through so much and he did not have a listening ear. No one could bear the struggles and the pain of Ali. He vented to a well. He would talk to a well. He would tell his secrets and his pains and his, and it's so heartbreaking. But then again, it shows that Islam acknowledges the idea of having someone to listen to you.
Right.
It's our portal. It's how we intake information, and we got to be careful. Most importantly, we have to be careful of what we listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to garbage, whether that garbage is music, garbage speech, garbage conversation, don't listen to it. It really affects you. It affects your thought patterns. It affects your personality. It affects your psyche. It affects you.
Okay, so now I guess over here it's important for you to stop the speaker.
Mm.
Like if you're speaking, something falls.
One of the things you shouldn't be listening to is backbiting. If someone is doing riba, backbiting in front of you, straight up tell them to stop. Yeah. You know what? Don't even care if you're hurting their feelings.
Right. Like if someone's giving you false news and all,
you tell them to stop. That's all the time we have for today's episode of Youth Station. Thank you so very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us, Brother Hassane.
Thanks so much.
On behalf of the cast and crew, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator. My Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver. My defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, the will when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love is strong.
The light.
Nowadays, phone addiction is causing an increasing number of accidents worldwide. A Korean engineer has come up with a creative, although satirical, way to tackle that issue. Pang Min-wook is a 28-year-old industrial engineer or designer. He has invented a robotic eyeball people can wear to avoid accidents when using their phones while walking. The device is strapped to the forehead and opens its eyelids when the users lower their heads. The third eye then beeps in warning when the user comes within 1 or 2 meters of an obstacle. Pang says his device is not a solution to the issue and hopes that people will understand the severity of their reliance on gadgets when they see their third eye.
As the coronavirus continues to wreak havoc in India, some auto rickshaw drivers have turned their three-wheelers into makeshift ambulances to provide patients with first aid services.
In New Delhi, the municipal ambulances are often occupied. There are also some very narrow alleys or built-up areas that are inaccessible by regular-sized ambulances. In these cases, our makeshift ambulances came in handy then. We attend to people in need with oxygen cylinders.
Mishra, who started the Rickshaw Ambulance Initiative, says his center attends around 1,200 calls per day. He says rickshaw volunteers transport roughly 150 patients during peak hours. The brave drivers work 12-hour shifts and mainly serve people with mild symptoms. They wear full protective gear, including face shields, while on duty. The three-wheeler ambulances are easily identifiable by the large printed image of the fleet and emergency call numbers. Mishra says the fleet will continue running with all its might until the coronavirus is under full control in India. In Russia, drone enthusiasts have gathered in the capital, Moscow, to show off their technological creativity in a racing competition. The participants created their own drones and made changes to the models right on the site where the competition was held to improve their chances to win the contest. The goal was for the participants to complete the track in the shortest possible time. Participants say the interesting thing about the competition is that it's cheaper than other games.
It's a lot of fun. From the outside, it may not be so clear, but when you're inside it, it becomes really fun to talk, race with the competitors, learn from their experience some new technological things. As for the high cost, it is expensive, but when compared with the snowboards and skis, it is really cheaper, but more expensive than knitting.
In 2017, the International Federation of Aeronautics, or FAI, announced drone racing as an official sport. In 2018, Russia's sports ministry included drone racing in all Russian register of sports with a class code F3U following the FAI classification.
A science professor has released spectacular drone footage of lava streaming from an Icelandic volcano. Sørensen Johnson flew a drone over the volcano 2 months after it started erupting. He captured close-up shots of lava bubbling in its crater in the southwest of Iceland's capital. The volcanologists say that they have no idea how long this eruption will continue, adding that magma could flow for years. Iceland is home to dozens of active volcanoes. Volcanic landscapes have turned into a tourist attraction in the Scandinavian country. Two Russian cosmonauts have conducted spacewalk outside the International Space Station to prepare an old docking module for disposal. The duo spent more than 7 hours outside the ISS to wrap up preparations for the eventual disposal of the Pris docking compartment. According to NASA officials, the Russian cargo freighter will remove the two-decade-old module from the orbiting laboratory later this summer. Both the cargo ship and the Pris will burn up in the atmosphere above the Pacific Ocean. The orbiting Pris will clear the way for the arrival of a new Russian multipurpose laboratory module named Nuka, meaning science in Russian. Nuka is scheduled to launch on July the 15th this year. Wednesday's operation was the sixth spacewalk in 2021 in support of the Space Station Assembly, maintenance and upgrades.
A rare albino baby elephant that was rescued from poachers in South Africa has found a new home with a welcoming herd. The calf, named Han Yi Sa, was caught in a snare in the Kruger National Park when she was only 4 months old. She suffered several nasty wounds, including one to her mouth. Han Yi Sa remained trapped in the snare for 4 days before being rescued and taken to a shelter especially built for elephants northeast of Johannesburg. All the other elephants there are orphans too.
Each female that we had has a baby. So except for them, all of the others are orphaned. And I think that is part of the reason why they accept these orphans, because they know how it feels, you know, and they become actually, you know, the mother figures for them.
The calf has learned to adapt to the new life. She lies under the shadow cast by bigger elephants to protect herself from getting sunburned. The shelter says if the herd grows too big for the area, she and other elephants will be released into the wild.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
a Brazilian artist, has found a way to reuse plastic bags in a very creative way, making something beautiful out of them. Eduardo Sroa turns recycled shreds of plastic into real pieces of artwork. He picks up the material from city streets and rivers. Without using a drop of paint, Sroa recreates paintings by Picasso, Van Gogh, and other famous artists. He says his goal is to draw attention to plastic pollution.
I present this series as a product that does not have paint, except for what has already been processed into plastic by the industry. It does not have glue. It is a box that was built, and inside I press and condense it. I make an accumulated cluster of plastic bags that ends up creating this image that you see.
Sura's exhibition is due to open in Sao Paulo in the coming months. His previous works were also aimed at raising awareness about the environment. He has created several giant installations in public places, mostly along polluted rivers.
Chinese archaeologists have unearthed a rare 3,000-year-old bronze figure from a site they have been excavating for months in Sichuan province. The 1.5-meter figure deemed one of China's most famous archaeological discoveries. It consists of two parts. The upper part is 55 centimeters high with a zoon, a vessel used in ancient times, on top of the head. The lower part is 60 centimeters in size with kneeling posture. Similar findings in the past were just 20 centimeters in their heights. The bronze figure was discovered under massive ivory objects. So far, over 500 objects, including ivory, bronze, gold, and jade ware, have been found from six sacrificial pits of the Sanjiangdu ruins. A Chinese man becomes the first blind Asian mountaineer to successfully scale the world's tallest peak, the Mount Everest. Zhang Hong completed the 8,849-meter high Himalayan feat with three high-altitude guides. The 46-year-old climber said he spent much of his trek holding onto his guide's arm. The pair said the most tiresome and risky areas were the so-called death zones, ice walls, and ice falls at around 8,000 meters. The Chinese climber recalled humbly embracing being part of Mother Nature after he completed his arduous journey.
No matter if you're disabled or normal, whether you have lost your eyesight or you have no legs or hands, it doesn't matter. As long as you have a strong mind, you can always complete anything that other people think you can't.
Zhang added that this is only the beginning. He said his next milestone is climbing the highest peaks from the world's continents known as the Seven Summits. The Chinese mountaineer lost his eyesight at the age of 21. After his success, he became the third visually impaired person to ever step foot on the Everest peak. A Russian company has developed a fully self-driving car that looks like it was taken right out of a sci-fi movie. Flip is the size of a conventional passenger car and has enough space for six people. Its creator says the advanced vehicle is a taxi of the future. Flip has fulfilled the requirements of international automated driving standards. It's powered by electricity, but it can also use other fuels like gas and hydrogen. The owners of this futuristic vehicle do not have to worry about running out of power. That's because its replaceable batteries can be changed in less than 5 minutes once they are out of electricity. A rare baby giraffe is born in a zoo in western France, as conservationists try to increase the population of this endangered species. The cute Rothschild giraffe is the second born in a French zoo this year. Caretakers say the calves will stay with a facility for 1 year before they would be sent to another site to start their own families. The Rothschild giraffes are critically endangered, and conservationists say that only 1,600 of them exist now. The general giraffe populations in the wild have also decreased by around 30% in the last three decades.
For many professional climbers, ascending Mount Everest for even once remains an almost distant dream. However, a Nepali man has achieved that feat not once or twice, but 25 times. Kami Rita Sherpa has arrived back in the capital, Kathmandu, after breaking his own whopping record of 24 ascents to the summit of the world's tallest mountain. The veteran climber hopes that his accomplishment represents a big achievement for his small country. Climbing tall mountains runs in Kami's blood. He belongs to the Sherpa tribe, one of the Tibetan ethnic groups and native to the most mountainous region of Nepal.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illallah.
Imam Khomeini's viewpoints on the issue of Palestine. The Zionists are not people of religion. Israeli radio broadcast many of Hazrat Moses' teachings, but what is Israel like? What is the situation there? How do those claim descent from Hazrat Moses' life? Hazrat Moses was a shepherd with a staff. History has related what his life as a shepherd was like, how he then rose up and went after the greatest power which existed at that time and opposed it. No considering this world for a moment. Compare this with how these people, who consider themselves to be the descendants of Hazrat Moses, cling to this world. Great amounts of America's wealth lie in their hands. They have the financial power in America, yet still they say they believe in the religion of Moses. That was a short part of Imam Khomeini's remarks at January 21st, 1982.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today we are with another episode of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. And I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. Imam Khomeini has said in one of his speeches that if the nations would become aware of Islam, they will realize that whatever they seek exists in Islam. Now, we were trying to think, what does nations seek? They seek reform, they seek freedom, they want justice in the society. Obviously, when we have a parliament, when we have some people who are managing a country, they should distribute the resources justly among the people. So this justice is also something which nations are seeking. We cannot, like the nations couldn't reach to this level of justice.
Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum.
We know that those who are the investors, especially in the capital system, everything is for the ones who are rich and nothing is reaching to the poor. We have seen this movement of 99% against 1%
outside the Wall Street. So all these things that we see in the world, in any part of world, if you see from east to west, north to south, we see that they all are seeking these kind of things, which are the discussions in the Islam. Islam talks about justice. Islam talks about freedom. Islam talks about everyone's right. So Imam Khomeini is referring to this. And inshallah, if we were able to see the hastening of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, there will be the time which is also promised in the Quran, when Allah says that we will change all this corruption and injustice into the governorship of justice at the time of the last caliph of the Prophet, which is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, inshallah. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Nasser Rafi'i. Please stay tuned.
وقتی حضرت یونس علیه السلام براش مهمان آمد، ایشون خب یه مزرعه داشت، باقلا میکاشت با نان خشک، گذاشت جلو مهمان، مزرعه مال باغ خودش، نانم تو خانه داشت.
Once Prophet Yunus had a guest. He served his guest with a simple food that was bread and bean. He baked the bread himself and the bean was from his own farm. When serving his guest, he said, "We, the Prophets of Allah, are ordered to be away from takalluf and lead a simple life." From this behavior of Prophet Yunus, we understand that even the Prophets of Allah acted without takalluf or pretentious mannerism in their lifestyles. In this way, the guest of a Prophet can even invite him later without fearing of not having a rich table full of colorful foods.
بعضیا با مهمانی‌های میرن مثل سه رقم خورش غذاهای متنوعی میخواد دعوت کنه لااقل دو.
Now compare this manner of the prophets of Allah with what you see in today's world. Luxurious and fancy tables with three kinds of food and much extravagance with desserts and cakes and other things. These are all takalluf in invitation and such manners are banned by Allah. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Nasser Rafi'i. To find out about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
On June 3, 1989, Ayatollah Sayyid Ruhollah Mousavi Khomeini, the leader of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, passed away at the age of 89. Millions of Iranians flocked to the streets of Tehran mourning the death of the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, especially from the Muslim world, to pay tribute to a man whose life set an example for anyone thirsty for liberation, justice, and humanity. More than three decades after his death, Ayatollah Khomeini's memory lives on, and his ideas still inspire freedom seekers of the world. The core of Imam Khomeini's ideas lies the overarching concept of resistance. Resistance against any encroaching entity that targets the heart of a nation, its history, identity, and sovereignty. Heroic resistance against the colonial powers of the time. The Islamic Revolution of Iran in 1979 was the epitome of an active, effective resistance against the imperialism of the United States and a revolt against its puppet ruler in the country.
The Shah of Iran used to call himself the King of Kings. Anyway, in order not to go too deep into history, Shah Mohammad Reza Pahlavi ruled Iran, and at the beginning of the 1960s, of course, he was a dictator, an oppressive ruler. There was no freedom, there was no will of the people, there was no priority given to the concerns of the people domestically, and as much as possible, he tried to keep the people away from their culture and their religion and their Islam and their sanctities and their history and their heritage, and also he made it as a member of the American-led Axis.
In the absence of such resistance, nations are first robbed of their natural resources and then become big marketplaces for Western consumer goods. The oil-rich Saudi kingdom is a case in point, a country humiliated over and over again by the Americans, despite the billions of dollars it gives to Washington in the form of arms deals, but in fact, it is the money Riyadh gives as a bribe. Imam Khomeini called on all Muslims across the world to rediscover their Islamic identity, regain their confidence and resist against the hegemony of foreign powers, with the ultimate goal of liberation from the yoke of colonialism in any shape or form. It is not an exaggeration to say that it is the Imam's discourse of resistance that has foiled many imperialistic plots by the world powers in Western Asia, if not in other places around the world. Ayatollah Khomeini believed Muslims the world over would be able to ease their plights through unity and solidarity. As a Muslim scholar, he called on all Muslim nations to gain intellectual independence from the West and revive and repeat their glorious past. Imam Khomeini drew attention to self-sufficiency and self-reliance as a prerequisite to the real development of nations. The resistance movement Imam Khomeini initiated was against the tyranny and injustice Iranians faced under the rule of Mohammad Reza Shah. The movement, however, evolved into the biggest revolution in the final decades of the 20th century and inspired, in the coming decades, many other countries in the Muslim world to stand up against their tyrannical rulers. Massive protests in 2011, which rocked the Arab world, could be regarded as the continuation of the movement led by Ayatollah Khomeini, which resulted in the fall of the Shah of Iran. At the same time, Ayatollah Khomeini attached great importance to the issue of Palestine. To him, active resistance on behalf of the Muslim world could show its peak in fighting against the Israeli regime, which he likened to a cancerous tumor, and considered the occupation of Palestine as a broader occupation planned for the rest of the Arab world. He said, "Everyone should realize that the goals pursued by superpowers by creating Israel did not end in the occupation of Palestine. They plan, heaven forbid, to extend the fate of Palestine to all Arab countries. The fact is, Ayatollah Khomeini raised the alarm as far as the 1960s, almost 15 years after the creation of the Israeli regime, when the threat of Israel as a regime that could endanger peace and security in the region was comprehended neither regionally nor globally. After the victory of the Islamic Revolution, the Imam continued to address the issue of Palestine as the main issue in the Muslim world, not an issue having to do with the Arabs alone. Even today, the major pro-Palestinian resistance movements and organizations such as Hezbollah and Hamas that stand against the occupying regime of Israel are all the legacy of Imam Khomeini's support for the oppressed people of Palestine. It is hard to imagine how the Middle East would look like without a resistance hero like Ayatollah Khomeini.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll be discussing the commentary of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Suratul Mu'minun, or the Believers. Now let's just listen to the related verses and then we'll be back. So stay with us.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
قُلْ رَبِّ أَنزِلْنِي مُنزَلًا مُبَارَكًا وَأَنتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ.
And say, My Lord, let me land at a blessed landing place, and you are the best to accommodate us.
إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ وَإِن كُنَّا لَمُبْتَلِينَ.
Indeed, in that are signs, and indeed we are ever testing our servants.
وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَنزِلْنِي مُنزَلًا مُبَارَكًا وَأَنتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ وَإِن كُنَّا لَمُبْتَلِينَ. These are the 29th and the 30th verses of chapter Mu'minun. وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَنزِلْنِي مُنزَلًا مُبَارَكًا. And say, O Lord, cause me to land with a blessed landing. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ. You are the best to cause to land. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ وَإِنْ كُنَّا لَمُبْتَلِينَ. Verily in this, there are signs, and indeed we put man to test. So, you may remember in the previous program, the Almighty Allah told the Prophet, addressing him, he said, "And فَإِذَا اسْتَوَيْتَ أَنْتَ وَمَنْ مَعَكَ عَلَى الْفُلْكِ. When you are settled on the ark, say, all praise belongs to Allah. فَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي نَجَّانَا مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. The one who has delivered us from the unjust people. Now, it is told to the Prophet Noah that he should beseech Allah in this way. وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَنزِلْنِي مُنزَلًا مُبَارَكًا. And say, my Lord, cause me to land with a blessed landing. The Arabic word manzil, perhaps here could be a noun of place, that is to say, that after the storm ended, Allah would land Noah's ship on a land that was blessed with abundant favors, so that he could live on it comfortably. Of course, this manzil could also be an infinitive, that is to say, that Allah would land Noah's ark with a good way, because after the storm ended, many dangers would face the ship when it was about to land, such as the lack of a proper place to live, or maybe the shortage of food and different kinds of diseases. So Noah asked Allah to land the ship with a blessed landing. So the interesting point is that at first Almighty Allah tells the Prophet to praise him, and then he is allowed to ask for something new. So he praised Allah in the previous verse, and now in this verse he can ask, he can supplicate. And this is one interesting and noteworthy point during our supplications. At the end of the verse says, وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ. You are the best to cause to land. So in all our supplications, in all our askings, we have to ask the Almighty Allah by the name which is appropriate to our asking. In this case, he asked Allah to land him with a blessed landing, and he calls onto his Lord and says, you are the best to cause to land. وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَنزِلْنِي. And in the end, وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنزِلِينَ. Finally, the last verse of this group of verses refers to the whole story in which Noah overcome the oppressors, and the severe punishment of these people is considered as a sign for the owners and possessors of intellect. The verse says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ الْآيَاتِ. Verily in this there are signs. وَإِن كُنَّا لَمُبْتَلِينَ. And indeed we put to test. So this sentence may indicate that Allah frequently tests the people of every nation, and in this case Allah has tested the people of Noah many times, and when they could not pass the test, he caused them to perish. And it may also point out that Allah tests all mankind in every age, and the verses above are not particular to the people of Noah's age. Mankind is tested in various forms in all ages, and as a result of them, those who are thorns on the way of human development are removed, they are perished, because humanity should continue its journey of perfection unhindered.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
word. In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of